kickstarting your day.
Live from just around the corner.
This is Lou and Al.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, podcast Friday time once again here at Triple M. G'day, it's Lou and Al for breakfast. And what a busy week it's been, Lou. In terms of, the race that stops the nation or the border for at least half a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Commercial Club Albury Gold Cup Day. A lot of people getting pimped and processed and preened pampered and preened and all the P words. Just ready for the big race day. So, yeah, bit of fun.
Could be a slow Monday depending on how big you celebrate today.
Wow. Gosh, if you're taking it through to Monday, you're really getting into it.
Well, Albury Cups only comes around once a year, so, you know.
That's true.
Another big event that we had on the show this week. Wow, what a busy Friday it was. We did talk a lot about the Commercial Club Albury Gold Cup, but we also caught up with, someone you and I know so well, spirit medium Charmaine Wilson.
We did, and talked about Charmaine's show, which is coming up at the Albury Entertainment Centre on the 13th of April.
Yep.
So get your tickets if you're keen.
Oh.
And I was lucky enough to get a bit of a reading from Charmaine as well.
Very emotional. And we kind of knew this would go this way.
Yeah.
When she does what she does, tears naturally happen.
They do, because, you know, we obviously always miss the people in our lives that have passed away.
Yep. And any chance we can have of trying to either
connect,
reunite, hear from them in some way, shape or form, just amazing. So yeah, having seen one of her shows in person, it is so worth going along.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yep.
It's really worth it.
Hey, today, very special part of today's podcast. The new movie is out very soon. Or actually, it's out right now. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
You're keen, aren't you?
I love the Ghostbusters franchise.
I like the Ghostbusters too.
I know it's gone a little bit weird with a couple of, you know, sort of different takes on it. But now you're getting back to some of those original characters. You're getting those original ghosts appearing in there. You're getting the next generation of Ghostbusters too. I'm very thrilled with the fact that it's still going.
Yeah, a bit of fun. And you can go and see it at Regent Cinemas.
That's it. Movie guru Shane A. Bassett actually caught up with the director-writer Gil Keenan as part of the new Ghostbusters and had a big chat. And here it is for you as part of our big podcast this morning.
Having seen your movie, it's very close to my heart, the Ghostbusters franchise. So thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I have to say, I approach these films as a fan myself. I've been a lifelong fan since 1984. Yeah. And so to be mixed up in the world of my favorite characters and now to have made one of these films is really a fan's dream.
Well, I know you're a co-writer with Jason on Afterlife, but do you feel like the Sony have given you the keys, you know, for taking the reins for the almighty beloved Ghostbusters? Now you're directing Frozen Empire.
Yeah, I you know, it was such a nice feeling with Afterlife to feel like in rekindling the original story of the Ghostbusters, the one that began with Ivan Reitman's first film in 1984. Yeah. We did feel a lot of love from our studio. There was a sense that they understood that this one was special, that these characters and specifically, I think the reaction from fans around the world proved that there is a unique energy in the world of Ghostbusters films or Ghostbusters entertainment. And also that we, and that is Jason and myself, had an understanding of how to tell these stories or, you know, at least understood these characters and what our audiences were hoping to see with them in a way that made the process of making both Afterlife and then now with Frozen Empire, it did feel like the keys to Ecto-1 were handed to us, and that's a nice feeling.
Were you given words of advice from Jason before becoming a director, or even from Dan or Ernie? Did anyone whisper in your ear and say any, you know, inspirational things to keep you motivated?
Absolutely. I mean, all of them have. I mean, in varied and multiple ways. I mean,
Yep.
I remember one of the best bits of affirmation that Dan gave me early on, because Dan obviously is so much the soul of Ghostbusters. You
Oh,
know, he
yes.
wrote the very first screenplay that then was developed by Harold and Ivan with Dan into the film that we all know and love. Dan is a performer early on in the process when before we started rolling cameras, did the most generous thing by basically saying, you know, I'm putting myself into your hands and take Ray where he needs to go on this story. And that was an extraordinary, you know, somebody like him who's played this character for 40 years didn't need to say that to somebody like me who was stepping into this world for the first time as a director.
Yeah.
But it showed incredible, you know, generosity of spirit from him and confidence in the vision that I was communicating with this film. In ways like that, I sort of felt from everyone a sense of, you know, kind of positive goodwill towards making this a true Ghostbusters film. And we did approach it with the spirit of making something that was very audience facing, making it a good time at the movies in the way
Yeah.
that I think a lot of us felt leaving Ghostbusters films in the 80s.
Well, that's really nice. Thank you for sharing that, what Dan said, because yeah, he among many they've been with this franchise, if you want to call it that, or this legacy for so long that it's really good to hear that they all supported you, obviously.
Yeah, it was I mean you can imagine I was happy to hear that as well. Not to gloss over Jason's support, because I do want to take a moment to just say that I've had lots of great producing over the years, and some bad producing too, but I know the difference between the two.
Yeah.
And the experience I had with Jason, who was my friend first, I mean, we've been friends for almost 20 years and
Yeah.
best friends for much of that. And we've been collaborating for 10 years, writing screenplays together and producing films together. And still, I was not prepared for the amount of kind of empathetic support that I had from Jason throughout the making of this film. It really exceeded my expectations of the amount of energy and passion and bolstering that I felt and is really needed on a movie of this scale,
Yes.
with so many moving pieces that has to come together so quickly. And you know, it's easy to feel like you're alone in the Milky Way, you know, trying to wade back to home turf sometimes when you're making a massive film. And so having those helpful hands reaching out to hold on to every once in a while is like incredibly meaningful. So I did feel you know, supported in a serious way.
Good. That's really good to hear. And how do you balance the right amount of nostalgia and new story elements?
Well, it starts at the writing phase. I mean,
Yeah.
obviously, when we're dealing with iconic characters, and in this story, returning to iconic locations, not least of which the firehouse
Firehouse, yes.
in Tribeca, you know that you're going to be sort of stepping into a world that will elicit an immediate response, right? There is both an emotional reaction for people who grew up with the films, like myself, and also a sort of aesthetic reaction for people who maybe don't have quite the same depth of experience with the films, but will still recognize it as something
Yeah.
that has some sort of place in movie pictorial history. So you sort of have to be aware that those are things that are valuable, so long as they are supporting a new and an engaging character-driven story. And actually, that is sort of the way you create the balance, both in the writing and in the making. You
Yes.
focus on the telling of the story of the characters, and both with Afterlife and with this new film, Frozen Empire, the Spangler family and primarily Phoebe Spangler is at the very sort of emotional center of the story. And so you know that as long as you are putting most of your energy into telling that story, then the trappings of nostalgia will be a sort of support system or a seasoning rather than something that threatens to overwhelm or become, you know, the sort of experience we've all had with pop culture, with films that sort of tap into pop culture in one way or another, that sort of sometimes feel like they're just ticking boxes on the side of a column.
Yeah, I love how you call it the trappings. You know, it could be the ghost trappings, something like that. Did you direct at all in a jumpsuit at all? Did you get into character yourself or
I
not
did.
really?
I wore a jumpsuit one day, and I
Oh,
want to
cool.
remember what day it was. It might have been the big group scene days. I decided to just go for it and be
Cool.
ridiculous. The days when I had everyone on set, I definitely wore the jumpsuit at least once on set.
That's so good.
They're really comfortable, actually. The jumpsuit is the good part. I think anyone will tell you that it's the pack that creates
Yes.
the problems.
Now you mentioned the firehouse before. One of my most favorite sets and designs, you know, in any movie, really, when I think about it growing up. Remodeling of it, I mean, the exterior is a real place, but the remodeling of the interior must have been just wonderful. It looks so great.
Oh,
Just
thank you. I'm so
step back
proud
in
of the
time.
thank you. I'm so proud of the work that Eve Stewart, our production designer, did with her team. They started the process with me in New York, doing a proper recce of the firehouse,
Yeah.
you know, measuring every square inch of it, getting the most minute detail photography, and then using their considerable powers to recreate the thing in the UK where we did the bulk of our filming. We did film a bit on the outside of the real firehouse as well. There's a couple of shots in the film just that sort of give us that grounding. But in the on the stage, it was absolutely astonishing, the feeling of walking in through the doors of the firehouse and feeling like this was an actual lived-in place with history, including Ghostbusters history. I mean, maybe on second or third viewings, it's the kind of detail that you would catch after you're following the character story, and you have room for other things in your mind. But there are scars in the building, old scars of the first Manhattan cross rip from 1984.
I think I noticed something on the floor, or was I
Yes, exactly.
mistaken?
Well spotted. That's right.
Oh,
So,
good. I've seen it twice, actually. So cool.
that's incredible. So it's sort of all over. There are those sort of almost you know, like wildly subtle details that tell a story. And that exists in almost every direction. And that's good for all of us making the movie. It's good for me in knowing that the story is being told through the environment. It's obviously great for the
Yes.
actors to feel like there's a place that's fully realized, and then hopefully for audiences as well.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. I had a feeling it wasn't sort of a, it wasn't dwelling on it, but I'm looking at the floor going, I know what that is.
Yeah, whether you're a true fan for noticing that.
Is there a director cameo in Frozen Empire? Do you make an appearance at all?
I mean, I make an appearance by voice.
Oh, okay.
There are several conspicuous spirit and supernatural vocal cameos by yours truly in the film. In terms of the ghost that I love, I can say, you know, it's like asking a father which child he loves the
Of
best,
course.
but I can choose my favorites. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily classify Garaka as a ghost, but I'd put a notch in his column. Actually, the true answer to the question is Melody, because I don't think that
Oh,
there has
yes.
ever been a ghost in these films that has such a compelling story or a story that feels like it's as dimensionalized as melodies. There is just such a depth of love and passion for Ghostbusters, and people do come together and they're inspired to do great work and to suggest places where Ghostbusters, fanatics can find new levels of engagement and surprise, etc. So it is an absolute work of love by hundreds of people, and I feel really lucky to be a part of it.
That's our podcast for the weekend. All good, ready to rock and roll. Are you up to much this weekend, Lou?
Let me think. As long as the cows don't break into the hay shed again, I should be fine.
I love the fact that you had a cow riot and they literally
they
stampeded the barricades down.
They did. Not only that, I didn't tell you this earlier, the alpacas also got in for their fair share of the hay, and one of them was in the hay shed eating the lucerne off the bale. And when I tried to evict him, he threatened to spit at me more than once, let me tell you. It just gave me, they do this real weird thing with their neck and they turn backwards to like spit at you as if to say, get lost.
That's the stance.
Yeah. So that was a very interesting afternoon.
Oh, God. I'm hoping that you have a really quiet, peaceful weekend after
too.
All of the farm action that you've copped this
I
week.
I tell you, animals.
You've had pear and tree fogs, you've had spiders, you've had...
I have. Oh, I know. I also didn't tell you, I got home yesterday to the pantry. The pantry having been raided by the cats got into the pantry and decided that was fun and knocked a whole lot of stuff on the floor. I came home and there was just stuff everywhere on the kitchen floor. So, yeah, it's been a week.
That has been an incredible... And you still like being a hobby farmer.
Yeah, it's fun. Life's full of surprises.
And
nothing
adventures.
Wrong with that.
All right. Well, enjoy your weekend. Catch us Monday, of course. Chance at $1,000 with the free money minute. We came so close to giving that away. We've got our Monopoly boards. Last few remaining. Thanks to Vitasoy. And we'll catch you up with Malky and talk all things TV. We'll chat to you then here at Triple M. Take care.